Finding Rest in Family Ties, Commentary for the August 7th, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Proverbs 22:6. What young parent has not heard this text shared from the pulpit? Often it is shared beginning in midsummer as enrollment time for parochial school gets into full swing. This is troubling on several levels. It makes use of a sales technique called the either-or close, where the customer is offered a choice between the one the salesperson wants them to make and a very undesirable alternative. While it may be an effective technique to close many sales and win sales achievement awards, it is based upon a logical fallacy called the false dichotomy. But there is an even worse reason it is troubling. It places a blame for straying children squarely on the parent. If the parent does not enroll the child and the child later goes astray, it is the parent's fault, as this use of the verse strongly implies. But what if the child attends a school and is driven astray by harsh judgmentalism, hypocrisy, and unfair favoritism? Then it is still the parent's fault because the school only has a child for a few hours each day. Sadly, despite the best efforts of some truly wonderful teachers, there are many who trace their departure from the straight and narrow to experiences they had in parochial school. For a school system that practically guarantees a child will be saved for all eternity by appealing to this verse in Proverbs, this is disturbing. We should humbly acknowledge the discrepancy between promise and performance and acknowledge that just like churches, schools save no one. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Our denominational schools tend to be more about wealth and power than salvation. Those with the power to do so want the schools run according to their desires and too often are not willing to entertain what God may want. To ensure there will not be any official challenge to their influence, they make sure that the denominational employees receive hefty discounts to the expensive tuition. While this is not how the kingdom of God is constituted, it is denominational politics as usual. Just as in Jesus' day, religion is a tool of the wealthy and the poor, the disabled, the common man or woman struggling to get by, have little say about what the denomination says or does. When it comes to the school system, the high tuition keeps most of the riffraff out. The few that may obtain sponsorships are quickly sorted out by the children of the denominational elite. They either accept their lesser role or move on to public school. Some may feel this is all too harsh, but for those of you who placed your children in the parochial school system, how did that work out for you? How many of you did not see your child grow up to a life of faith as promised? Did the schools iron out any of their familial dysfunctionality? Perhaps an even better question is, why am I even bringing all of this up? Our lesson this week focuses on children in dysfunctional households. More particularly, the examples of Joseph and his brothers is given along with the history of their family. Like many normal families today, theirs was filled with jealousy and rivalry. They did some astonishing things in attempts to exercise power over one another. Whenever they felt threatened, they sought vengeance, as Dinah's brothers did with the men of Shechem. They were not above lying and cheating to climb to power, as Jacob did with his trickery regarding Laban's livestock. One might point out Laban's cheating about Leah and Rachel, but we must remember that Laban was an idol worshiper, not a follower of the God of Abraham. One might reasonably expect a higher standard from Jacob. Nonetheless, Jacob deceived his father. He deceived Laban. He also deceived Esau, both before he left and when he returned. However, we are willing to look the other way about his deception of Esau later, because Jacob was now Israel, servant of God. In any event, this was not a family unaccustomed to deceiving one another. The culmination of that sad fact was his brothers selling Joseph into slavery in Egypt. Joseph was a very special case. With him, God did as he loves to do. He reached down into the chaotic dysfunction around Joseph and found his heart to be open to the Holy Spirit. However, he had to do with Joseph as he did with Moses. He separated him from his family so he could grow in his relationship with God unencumbered. Moses was away for 40 years, but the Bible does not tell us how long Joseph was away before he saw his family again. Moses grew stronger in his faith as a result, but after he was reunited with his brother and sister, they continued to struggle, as Aaron's golden calf and Miriam's leprosy revealed. Joseph feared the same might be the case with his brothers, so he tested them and found that their hearts had softened over the years, but not completely. When their father died, they feared that Joseph's heart was like theirs, and that he would seek vengeance upon them for selling him into Egypt. But Joseph could see beyond that and saw God's purpose woven through all that had happened, and told them so. His connection with God was not through his family. It was not through institutional religion. It was direct. Through personal experience, he learned to patiently trust God to unfold his life as certainly and as gently as a rose opens its petals. God creates each of us for a purpose. If we let him, he will reveal that purpose over time. We may think we know what he wants and rush ahead, believing we are doing God's will. We are like a child hiking with their parents. The child can see the path their parents are walking, so they run ahead. However, the parents have been over the path before. The child has not and does not know what is beyond the next bend in the way. Like that child, we have a choice when we are called back. We can believe we are doing God's will and continue to run on ahead, or we can return to him, trusting that he will lovingly guide us and patiently wait for him to reveal what comes next. Perhaps you, like me, have experienced family dysfunction that derailed what you thought was the direction you should take in life. You may have felt victimized by that dysfunction, but God is not calling you through your family. He speaks directly to your heart. If necessary, he will bring you away from all the dysfunction like he did with Joseph, so that his purpose can be written on your life. While most are focused on building careers and pleasing their superiors to rise to higher positions, God is not seeking man-pleasers. He is seeking God-pleasers, those who will place God's will above that of everyone else. In Noah's day, only 8 people followed God's leading onto the ark. Thus it has been ever since. Most have taken the broad path of education, career, and family, finding in the end that they are powerless to save us. Even when we give a little time each week to assuage our troubled hearts by attending church somewhere, the peace of Christ eludes us. I have had the privilege of sharing their final hours with some saints in the church who never were considered important enough to even hold a church office, but died with a peaceful heart. Their memorials were simple with few attending, but their names were written large in the Book of Life. I have also seen those who have had positions of power and influence in the church and were memorialized with many attending. They were praised for all they had done, as though their works could guarantee them a similar position of power and influence in heaven. All too often, the works they placed so much faith in were overturned by the next person to step into the position they so recently vacated. Despite what we may hear from the powerful and wealthy, from pulpits or boardrooms, there is nothing we can do to please God beyond surrendering our will to him and opening our hearts that Jesus may enter in, bringing the Holy Spirit, who will gently, compassionately, and lovingly reveal our purpose and shape our character that we might fulfill it. This may be the work of a lifetime, but we need not be anxious about it. God is faithful, and will bring us safely home. As so many through the centuries have discovered, it is faith that saves us, faith in God to accomplish in us what we were created to be. When he was taken captive to Egypt and sold into slavery, Joseph may have been tempted to wonder if his life was a waste, but he discovered that no life lived in God's will is wasted. I want to live the life God has purposed for me. Wouldn't you like to live out his purpose for you as well? Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold over my being, absolute sway. Filled with thy spirit, till all can see, Christ only, always, living in me. By Adelaide A. Pollard. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You may find the written version of this commentary and many more commentaries just like it at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.